Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a marvelous, wonderful new day that you've added into our lives. A day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice, glorify, magnify, uplift his holy name. We want to welcome you to the Blog Talk Divine Connection Prayer Line, where we're having a gospel explosion of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And our theme is your faith will go on trial. Don't panic, but be encouraged. Usually say don't panic. It's just a test. Tests will come in the midst of it all, but be encouraged. Your faith will go on trial. Don't panic. Be encouraged. We praise God for you tonight, and thank you for joining us. We bless God, glory to God, because he is worthy of all the praise. We adore him, and we magnify him. How great is his faithfulness. How excellent is his name. There is none like him. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name shall be praised. Bless the Lord. Praise God. We thank God, glory to God, that we're looking forward to a mighty move of God. Praise the Lord. We have such a dynamic of word that came forth through the vessel of none other than evangelist Alexander, which also, praise God, of Mother in the Lord of Zion, praise God, and under her subtopic, where she had doubt, fear, and panic, and she letting us know that don't belong in the body of Christ, not among the children of God, praise God, a child of God, as she said, should not be operating in that, praise the Lord. And she said, when God gives you an assignment, no one can do your assignment. No one can do what God's called you to do, praise the Lord. And let us know that we are the light of the world, praise the Lord, and no matter what devil comes up against us, no matter what says, no matter how muddy the water or what goes on, stand firm, stand fast, hold fast. I'm adding a little to that. Glory to God on the word of God. Praise the Lord. And he says in his word also that nothing's too hard for him. Know his voice. No matter what goes on, you have the victory. And he talked in Exodus 15:26, and then also in Deuteronomy 7:15, and let us know that God is the Lord that healeth thee. And praise God that we have to know that we have to have the good, we have to fight the good fight of faith. And also give you a couple little more points out of the highlights. And that'll also let us know we can't play footsie with the devil, but we have to hold on to God's word. And if you're going to pray and say you're going to bind and you're going to loose, she was saying if you're not going to believe God or his word and so forth, there's no need. You're not going to get nothing. If you will be speaking a word evidently saying binding and loosing, and then you don't believe God, so that doubt cancels out everything in the name of Jesus. We bless God so forth for all that he taught us, and also about 91 songs, and let us know no matter what's going on in the world and what's going on right now with that coronavirus, praise the Lord, we have to know what God's promises is and stand and be anchored in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Isaiah 41:10, of course, we say it a lot. Fear not, because God, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yeah, I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So out of all, we just got to know who we are, who God is in us, and know that we got to stand on his word. We can't live half-heartedly in this, bless the Lord. She said something that was a little comical. She said, like, with a dog that's hungry, and hadn't eaten, and you give him a bone and try to take the bone from it and so forth, you know how dangerous, how hard that is to get a dog and so forth like this from somebody that the dog is hungry and holding on to that bone because he is hungry, and you're going to try to take it from it. We ought to be like that with that bulldog determination, more or less. Well, whenever we hold on to the word, no matter what the devil is saying or what he's doing, we ought to hold fast like never before. Praise the Lord. And praise God. We just thank God for what God has done and what he's doing in her, and how the word was flowing so magnificent. I can't even begin to really bring forth the word like that God has given her, but I want you to know you can go back and look at, hear it on Blog Talk Radio. You look for blogtalkradio.com/divine, D-E-V-I-N-E, connection, and you can go back and hear that episode, praise the Lord, and you can really hear the force and the anointing and the power and authority that God bless her to walk in, praise God. He wants us to hold on to our peace and in our joy in the Lord and not be moved. Amen, praise God. Bless the Lord. Praise God, praise the Lord. I want you to know, bless the Lord, that we're looking forward to a move of God tonight through our leader from out of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, which is near next door to Tulsa. Praise the Lord. None other than Pastor Charlotte Mitchell, the prophet in the Lord. Bless God. But at this time, praise God, we're going to prepare ourselves for reading of the scripture. Let me look and see how many we have on board, because I hate for it to get started and we don't have that many come on board yet. Praise the Lord. But I will do a little exalting and give a, well, it's just a reading, and then give the space to Mother Evangelist Willette LaFont that will pray after the scripture. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am excited and overwhelmed and looking forward to anticipation and expectancy of a move of God for the Lord to use the vessel that he has ordained for tonight. Our lineup, I can even give you that while we're waiting, just a couple of more minutes. But in the meantime, no time is going to be wasted. Our lineup, glory to God, for last night, starting with the 18th, was none other than Evangelist Alexander, praise the Lord, out of Columbia, South Carolina. Tonight we'll have Pastor Charlotte Mitchell out of Broken Arrow, next door to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Bless the Lord. Wednesday night will be Prophet Lillian Bird out of Malden, South Carolina, over near Greenville. We have Apostle Mary Burton out of Columbia, South Carolina. Praise the Lord, will be on Thursday. On Friday night will be Pastor Dr. Doris Dorsey, will be coming out of Columbia, South Carolina as well. And Pastor Betty Chu, that will be in coming out of Columbia also, in the name of Jesus. And none other than Prophetess Alicia Anum will be coming out of Tulsa, Oklahoma on Sunday in our closing, which is set on fourth Sunday. And usually on second and fourth Sunday, we always have Breaking the Bread of Life. It just lined right up when God gave me these vessels. And they were prayed. It was a word from the Lord for each one that's coming on. So I know in this revival, we believe in God, anywhere from God's blessing, from salvation, deliverance, and healing, and wholeness, glory to God, any area of their lives that yokes need to be destroyed, that we believe in God in the midst, those that need to be encouraged, those that need to be refortified, those that need a renewing of the mind and get back in compliance, or if there is any compromising or anything through this life that struggles have came up and caused them to be off kilter, glory to God, I'm believing throughout this week this revival is still going to do a great and mighty work in the midst of all of us. And that's from preachers on down to lay members. Whatever it is, praise the Lord, we just believe in God. Even some things that might have been in our secret closet might be to the natural man, may not know, but God knows all things. He knows what it's going to take for each one of us to line up and come in compliance and glory to God in assignment that he has on our lives. And that was one of the great things that Mother said last night. Know your assignment. And she kept reiterating that. Don't allow the enemy to take you off your course. Be steadfast in the faith and hold on to the word. And don't be moved by the things that's going on around us to keep us, glory out of the place of victory. And praise God. We bless God for her. Amen. I'm going to read something that says, living a prayer-filled life. Christians are fighting the same good fight, but how much more vigilant some fight than others. What is the reason? The principal means by which most believers have become great is the habit of diligent, private prayer. Prayer obtains fresh and continued outpouring of the Spirit. He alone begins the work of the grace in a man's heart. He alone can carry it forward and make it prosperous. But the good spirit loves to be entreated, and those who act most will always have the most of his influence. Praise God. This was about J.C. Ryle. But we know, bless the Lord, I want to develop a diligent, prayer-filled life. Teach me how I should pray, and when I'm not sure what to say, help me to sit quietly in your presence. Amen. Sometimes we have to study to be quiet. But as we seek the Lord and get in his presence, deny ourselves, crucify his flesh, the more and more the glory of God will be manifest, the more and more, glory to God, he can be able to use us for his glory. There won't be no flesh on parade, and we won't be caught on Hollywood Boulevard. We'll stay on the straight and narrow. Praise the Lord. We bless God tonight. Praise the Lord for his word and for the anointing and for the peace and for the joy of the Lord. I want to make sure that the scripture that I had already lined up, I'm going to make sure that I have it in front of me. If not, we will read one of the others that was already set up for tonight as well. Praise God. The scripture tonight will be coming from James 1:12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trials, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Praise God. And one other I want to say is 2 Timothy 2:4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that they may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And with us, we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. At this time, we're going to prepare ourselves and open the lines up for Mother Alexander, Evangelist, to do our evening prayer, and then we'll prepare ourselves for introduction of none other than Evangelist. I mean, not Evangelist, she evangelized now, but none other than Pastor Charlotte Mitchell. Praise God. So we open the lines now.
Amen. That's for Sister Willie, right?
Yes, this is for you.
Oh, okay. I heard you say Brother Alexander, but that's fine. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
It is Evangelist Willette LaFont.
That's
praise
fine.
God. Mother, I do apologize. My mind's still on Mother from last night. I apologize.
Right. All right. Well, we give glory, honor, and praise to the Most High God. Hallelujah for the great time that we enjoyed on last evening. We thank and praise God for this evening. Glory be to God. And we're just going to go to him in prayer. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, we come before your presence. We appreciate you, Heavenly Father. We thank you. We honor you. And we worship you. Thank you, Lord God, that you have put in the heart of Minister BJ for us to have this revival this week. It's a different format than what we usually have, but nevertheless, it's still time spent with you. So thank you, first of all, for being on this line with us in Jesus' name. We thank you for the woman of God that will bring forth your word. God, we're not just here just to be on the line, but we're in expectation. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And we pray to you right now in Christ Jesus' name, thanking you in advance for what our ears will hear and what we can apply to our life. We thank you for the power of your word. And we pray that every morsel, hallelujah, is good for us. Hallelujah. So we pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that Lord God, you give us an ear to hear what you're saying to the woman of God on tonight to bring forth to us. And we pray, Lord God, that we get it in our hearts and our minds and soul that when someone's breaking the bread or they're bringing a word, hallelujah, from the word of God, that is you speaking to us. And Father God, I thank you that I've learned this year to be in agreement with what your word says. So I praise you this evening. I thank you. I thank you for so many that took time out last night to be on the line, and I pray that people will hear about this revival on by way of a telephone, and hallelujah, but it doesn't mean you are not on this line because we know that you are. Hallelujah. You're in this. Hallelujah. And when once again, we're in expectation of what you will say to us. So, Father, right now in Christ Jesus' name, we love you, we bless you, we praise you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that's sitting at the right hand of you right now, making intercession for us. God, in Christ Jesus' name, we bind up distractions, hindrances. We bind up the yakety-yaks, Lord God, that try to keep us from focusing on what you're going to say. You use your servant, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, and open up our spiritual ears that we might hear what you're going to say to us on tonight. So we thank you for the manna that we will receive. We thank you for the revelation knowledge that will come forth this week in the name of Jesus. And God, we just thank you, Lord God, that your word, hallelujah, will go forth and it shall not come back void. We pray a blessing upon this service on tonight, and bless those that are the hearers, and most of all, Lord God, those that who have a desire to apply the word of God to their life. Let your divine will, hallelujah, be done in our lives. So we lay aside everything that's trying to interfere, try to distract us right now. We put it on the back burner because it's time to hear from heaven. And Lord God, we're looking forward to hear what you have to say to us. And may we take heed to your power of your word. We love you so much. We bless you. Bless the woman of God. Bless those, Lord God, that have come on this line. In Christ Jesus' name, we honor you. We bless you. We give your name the praise, and may you be exalted in this hour. In Jesus' name, we pray the prayer of faith with expectation, knowing that it's already done. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Do I need to pray again? Glory be to God. Hello.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank the Lord. God, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord God, for this ecclesia. All of us that are gathered together, one heart, one mind, one soul, one accord. I thank you, Lord God, that the words of my mouth will be as the pen of a writer writing and engrafting and engraving upon the hearts of the hearers, that we don't only hear, Lord God, but we take the word and we be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you so much, sister. For that prayer, I want to thank you so much, Pastor BJ, for inviting me to become a part of the revival. I thank God for what he's doing in our lives. I thank God what he's doing in our lives individually and corporately as a body. And with that being said, I just want to thank God because it's pretty obvious that we're in the latter hours. We're in the latter house, and we're in a place where God's been showing me we're in a place of what he called conclusion of a matter. And so it's so important that we develop another level of intimacy. Whatever we've been doing, he said we want us to do, he need us to do a little bit more because there are greater works. And he allowed me to see the book of greater works. It fell on the table, and greater works was written upon it. And he said, this is the time, this is the season, this is the dispensation of greater works. And it doesn't have to be great because it's going to be any bigger than Jesus, but greater works because he's got a lot of little Jesus all over the world, and we all have Jesus on the inside of us. And so he said, greater work shall we do, and this is the time and dispensation. And so he want to awaken us to the new wine, and so we can be in new wine skins that he can pour the new wine in this season, and also why as he prepared the bride of Christ. So I'm going to begin tonight in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12. And it reads as follows. It says, but as many as received him, but it just says, as many as received. That lets us know as many. That means everybody may not receive him. But he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So that lets us know that, guess what he said he gave us? He said, as we receive him, he said he gave us power to become the sons. I want you to realize and recognize on the night that there's a process in becoming the sons. And I want to just share that with you. There's a process. And a lot of times we live in a time and a season and everything is microwave. It's just quick. Everything is quick, quick, quick. But God says there's a process
to you becoming a son. I'm talking about a son in the kingdom and where he gave you the same power and authority to use and to be able to move and operate. I'm talking about when you become that place and that place of maturation where he can trust you with more power and more metron space and capacity in order to move. He can give you more weight in the spirit. That's why he said in his scripture, Isaiah, he said, unto us a child is born, but a son also has been given. And so it's at a point, we're in a place where he said, I'm recognizing and I'm looking for my mature saints. I'm looking for my mature sons and daughters in these last times, in his last days to use as my remnant. That's what happened when John the Baptist, remember when Jesus was born? All throughout scripture, he was going through tutelage. And when he came to John the Baptist in the Bible, when he came to John the Baptist, that's when he asked John to baptize him. Of course, John tried to defer him from him because he said, well, I'm unworthy to even unlash your shoes. And he said, no, be it unto me. Basically, I need you to do this. This is the last thing and a request, a requirement of my tutelage. And he had to do it. And so then John obeyed. And if we looked at that in the scripture, we could see when John obeyed, the Bible said that the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove, and it remained. And so it's important to recognize that when we even look at Jesus' baptism, and that was in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. We're not going to go there for time, but know that that's what happened when he particularly, and most of you guys probably already know and remember when that happened, when the Spirit descended upon him. At that time, he was endued with power, and it wasn't until that time, that's when he said, I'm well pleased with my son. At that particular time, that's when he graduated in his maturation and had become what he called a son of God in the kingdom. It wasn't until after that moment did you see as time went on, there were miracles and the power was endued, because there's a spirit within us, there's a spirit with us, there's a spirit in us, and there's a spirit upon us. And when that spirit comes upon us, it's for others. And at that particular time, he began to do it. And if you look back at the Hebrew customs, there was a custom back then when a father and son, he would groom that son, and that son would be on the tutelage as he's maturing and growing. And usually around 30, around that same age, what happened was when that son attained maturity, the father and the son would go to the end of the gate of the city. And when they would go to the end of the gate, what he would do was that father would shout out to everyone to come, all the clergymen and all the worksmen and all the business people, they would all come. And he would present to all of them, this is my son, basically, and he's reached that place of maturity. And when that father said he's reached that place of maturity, now that son had the right to transact business on behalf of his father. That's the place we want to be in, that place of maturation and maturity where we can transact business for our father. I mean, carrying weight. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in this hour and this time. And God said there's a clarion call for mature sons and daughters. And we know also a lot of times in maturation, we all want to go and grow with him, but he also, and we want to reign with him. But he said also, you're going to have to be willing to suffer with me, because sometimes that means in the process, I'm going to have to correct you. And when I correct you, it doesn't always feel good. But if you love me, you're going to, and if you love me, you really want to walk with me and you're being conformed to my image, you're going to love me even the more. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord God, that you love. You said you're chasing those that you love. I thank you for your discipline. You said in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but that you deliver us from them all. We thank you, Lord God, that you're developing us and you're equipping us and you're establishing us to be the mature saints of God, that we can be used in this hour as your remnant, that we can be used conformed into your will and conformed into what you desire us to be, that we can be the remnant that could be used, that could speak and cry out and spare not in this hour. I thank you, Lord God, that you're pursuing passionate seekers that will forsake their own will for your will. I thank you, Lord God, as we continue, it's important that we continue to put our will down to pick up his will. We say, not our will, let it be more than just a cliche, but let it be the rhythm and an anthem and a song of your heart. Not just a saying, not just lip service, but also heart service. I thank you, Lord God, that our lives and our obedience, our actions, our behaviors, our thoughts all line and run congruent with saying, not our will, but your will being done in our lives. We submit ourselves to you, Lord God. And in submitting ourselves to you, we submit ourselves to your correction, Lord God. Just like Uncle Sam said, he's looking for good souls, and we want to be all we can be in the army of the Lord is our response. We hear the cry of heaven right now crying out toward us. And God, I thank you that the earth is responding to your groaning and your moaning and your crying in this hour. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord God, as we continue to receive you, that we receive you and we're becoming the sons of God. And I thank you for the process. And we recognize that there is a process and that we give you all authority in our lives. And we invite you in everything we do. We invite you to be a part of everything we'll do. And we allow you and the truth to align our lives. And we thank you, Lord God, as you continue to form us, that we're being formed in you and that you're releasing mature sons and daughters in this hour. And that all the creation has been growing and we're responding. And I thank you for the season of conclusion that you told me that we've entered into. We've entered into a season of conclusion, and I think that the good news today, my sisters and brothers, is that we're chosen, and because we're chosen, God equipped those he chooses. Yes, he equips us. He positioned us to win. All we have to do, he says, rest. Apply what I've given you, and he know that's a sign of maturity when you're able to rest in him, when chaos is all around, when darkness is all around, despair is all around, but you're able to rest in him. You're able to still allow to you live your life from that place, from the inside out. Just like Noah, he pitched his tent from the inside out. We live our lives in that joy, and it's more than just a song, this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Well, don't let it go now. Continue to live from the inside out. Doesn't matter what's going around. We know most times the ship doesn't sink because of what's going around it. The ship sinks only when it's allowed to come in. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're safeguarding ourselves because we know who you are, we know whose you are, and you're moving in our lives. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. And this hour, we listen to you just as Jesus did. He kept saying all throughout the scripture, he said, I came to say what my Father say. I came to do what my Father do. And in his prayer in John 17, he kept saying, Father, just as I am one with you, I desire that they would be one with me. We know that's the desire of his heart, and we're walking one with you. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're one with you. And I pray right now that you are one with God and that we're walking with God. And regardless of how dark it gets, I don't care what perils come, we will not be walking in fear. We will continue to walk in you upright, recognizing that we're walking under an open heaven and aware of your presence at all times, knowing that you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank you for what you're doing in our lives as we minister, as we come together tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that we won't listen to anything but the word. We won't stand on anything but the word and the truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you gave us the mind, but we gave it back unto you, because I'd rather have the mind of Christ than to have the mind of Charlotte. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in us. You gave us the mind. You even told us what to think. And I thank you that this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that we're being conformed to your image, for we know that's your will, in Romans 8:29. Now, as we come together talking about intimacy, as we come together and we're talking about growing in the things of God, as we come together and we're talking about being the sons of God, actually walking out the victory, I want you to know, a lot of times, well, the first thing is the servant, and we know where the first covenant came, and that first covenant was a blood covenant, and that first blood covenant came about when Adam and Eve messed up, and when they transgressed in the garden, and when they transgressed in the garden, then they tried to cover with Lee, and then the Lord said, no, let's get an animal, and he covered him. And we know that was the first covenant, and that's the covenant of a servant. So we know we're a servant, and we know what Adam and Eve did when they transgressed. It was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life that happened to mess them up and take them out. And I want to also challenge you today and to think and provoke your thinking to know that it seemed, when you read it, it seemed like it may have just a 2-5 minute deal. He came and he told them that he came as a serpent, and he said this to Eve, and he said that. Well, I want to challenge you today that it was probably more like 1,500 years. And the enemy don't come and always just do it just that quick. Sometimes he poke and he poke and he poke. And so I believe that's what he did. You know why I believe that? Because the Bible says one day is as 1,000 years. And we know it was the sixth day when he made man, because on the seventh day he rested. And when he made man on the sixth day, that was the only one he gave purpose as to what we ought to do. When he made everything else, light and everything else, he didn't give it a purpose. It was unknown. But when he made man, he gave us a purpose. And then on the seventh day, the Bible said, and he rested. And after he rested on the seventh day, then came the eighth day. And on the eighth day, we call eight is the number of new beginnings. And on the eighth day, that's when what happened? That was the beginning of the fall of man. Why did man fall? Because of the choice that was made. So I'm trying to share with you, the enemy came in, and just like he come in, he may come in quickly, and he'll come in quickly to give you something or to say something to you, but then he continued to work on you. I think the scripture says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I think he comes come in with just a little thought, then a little inclination, and then before you know, one thing leads to another. And he, like I said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And then he began to tell him, you know, yeah, that's why he told you don't eat from that tree, because you're going to be like him. And, you know, because you're going to have his thoughts. And before you know it, he had worked on it and worked on it. And before you know it, there it was, the decision had been made. And now, the man, that was the fracture of the family. That was the beginning of the fracture of family. For God's always been a God of relationship. God's a God of relationship and family. And when the serpent came in, that was the beginning of the fracture of the family. Oh, but the second Adam came along and made it well. We all know that. So it's important to know that when those thoughts came and brought those thoughts to Eve's mind, the thoughts themselves aren't sin. Thoughts going to always come because we're in these earth sin. I want you to know that the thoughts aren't equal to sin, because we're in this world, it's going to happen. Sin, I want to tell you this, as far as the thoughts, we know that's the battlefield. The thoughts are going to always come, but he gave us word. He said we can cast down imaginations and images that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. He gave us the word that we can stand against the darkness and the darts of the thoughts. He gave us a part of the breastplate we can put on, the helmet of salvation that can protect our mind from negative thoughts. So the thoughts themselves aren't sin. I want to tell you the standard operation procedure of the enemy is to come and bring thoughts to you. So sin is not when you think it. Let me tell you what sin is. Sin is when you grab hold of it, you begin to chew on it, you allow it to work in you, it drops in your inner man, and then comes sin. Out of it comes sin. So know that the battleground is not on the outside of you. A lot of time the battleground is between your ears. And so, like we said, on the seventh and eighth day, we know that was the day of new beginning. And the reason I shared that about the sixth, the seventh, and eighth grade on day unto you is because I want you to get a picture of the strategy of the enemy, how he attacks suddenly at first, but then he gives little impressions. I want you to think about, he probably did some of the same things in your life. He attacks you suddenly, then he gives you little impressions, little thoughts, little inclinations. And before you know it, pretty soon you keep looking at it, and it becomes a cumulative. And that thing grows bigger in you. And before you know it, then you're focused on it. And we already know what we focus on is what develops in our lives. You connect, it connects itself to you, then it's activated in your life. That's why he said be quick to repent. That's why he said cast down imaginations and images that try to exalt. That's why he said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Oh, God, we thank you. I thank you. That's why it's important, since we speak in a covenant and we're talking about bridal. We're talking about maturity of the saints. And in the bride always had to wear. She wore four linen. There were four layers of linen that she would wear when she knew she was getting ready to get married in the Hebrew the culture. She would always have four layers of linen she would put on. And so what I'm giving you right now, the first one was the blood covenant. That's just say that's the undergarment. And so that's her first layer of linen that she's wearing. And I'm liking the bride to us, because that's who God's coming back to get. Us, the bride. And so I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you open the eyes of the understanding, that we receive everything that's being said today. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. And so a lot of times when she put on that covenant, when she put on that first layer, which was the blood covenant, which is the covenant that says servanthood. I mean, that's, I'm a servant of God. And that's why we already know the Old Testament was filled with types and shadows, and we know the new came to fulfill, bring the fulfillment. And Jesus came so we no longer had to kill animals to atone or cover. He came and he said, I wash it and cleanse you. And so because of that, we know that we have the blood covenant, which is the highest level of covenant, and we are a servant. And although Jesus is the second man of the Godhead, he is still a servant. So we are the same. I thank you, Lord God, that you help us. Help us to have eyes to see. It's important that you make a covenant with your eyes. Make a covenant with your eyes unto the Lord, that you won't meditate on things you look at, and you won't get caught up. Because I'm telling you, the beauty of our sight, or the beauty of eye, is a dangerous blessing. I want to call it the eye gate. It's a dangerous blessing. Does that sound like an oxymoron? How could it be dangerous and blessing? Much like the Holy Ghost, which is likened to what? The electricity, if you mishandle it. So it's important to recognize that to take care and to take and make a covenant with our eyes unto the Lord, because the enemy is always going to try to show us something different. He's going to always try to show us something that's not like God. So it's important in our blood covenant that we also make covenant with our eyes and with our ear gates. We make covenant with God when we strike that covenant to be a servant, to be just like the Lord Jesus, which is our greatest example. And you already know in our covenant build. The New Testament didn't come to do away with the old. It came to build upon it. And so I want to say also with that covenant needs to be renewed every day, just as our garments need to be changed every day. And we thank you, Lord God, for that you're preparing your bride, that you're getting us ready. You're getting us ready for when you come back, because we can see the signs of the time right now. And after the blood covenant, the second layer that the bride would put on in her linen, the second layer would be a salt covenant. Back in the day, they had a salt covenant. That was a covenant of friends where they would cut and then sometimes put soap. And then there was one that they would even put with ashes where they would do business and contract and make trade agreements. And there would be a friend. There would be a friendship covenant. They would put ash, and then that scar would be in the same place, and you could see the two. And that means they made a blood covenant. They made a friendship covenant and the same scar, and that was the way they made a covenant, the soap covenant. And in that covenant, I want to tell you, that's when you become the covenant of sonship. That's the next layer that the bride must put on. No, she's still going to be a servant. You're still going to be a servant, but you're walking now in the covenant of sonship. And in that place of sonship, there are places where God would allow you, even in Numbers and Leviticus, you can see where he said, take your sandals off, and now you can mark the boundaries of your inheritance. Now you're on the next level. Somebody say, next level. That's when you're on the next level, where God will show us our inheritance, and he'll show us our destiny. And as she did it with Moses. Moses was attending the sheep on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years, and he came around the mountain of God, which was called Mount Horeb, and which is desolation of despair, which is a place of brokenness. And I'm going to say that brokenness, we know that's a place to really enter. If you can't even get into the kingdom of God and natural God, the levels you can't get in God without brokenness. There's something about a brokenness in God before the Lord that brings his grace and brings his power, brings his mercy. And so when he was in brokenness at Mount Sinai, where God gave the law, we recognize that apart from him, nothing was done. As a matter of fact, it took him 40 days. It took him 40 days, and he went through what we call testing. And I want to say this, 40 is the number of testing. He spent 40 years to get all of Egypt out of him. Now, after that, when brokenness came, that was the first step of his maturity. And then at the point of when he saw and he was mature, and the scripture said that he was made mature basically when he was able to see the burning bush after coming out of that place where all of Egypt was out of him after 40 years, after being broken before the Lord, then he saw the burning bush where God showed up as fire. Glory to your name, Lord God. And it marked out his inheritance. God said, let me tell you something. When we think of an inheritance, and God said that we would inherit the earth. When he said the earth, he's not just talking about all kind of natural things. He's not talking about all the bling that you can imagine. He's talking about people and groups. He's talking about sphere of influence. He's talking about your destiny. He's talking about what he called you to do. The dash between the time when you were born to the time that you would die. He's talking about your calling. He's talking about your influence. He's talking about your metron. And when you finally get to your place of sonship, know that you get to mark out your territory. Hallelujah! Now that's the second level of covenant and maturation. Then he said, now there's the bridal covenant. Excuse me, that's the third level, because we had the salt, which was friendship, and then we went to sonship. Now we're going into the bridal covenant. And in the bridal covenant, in Revelations 19, 7 and 8, it talks about it. We're going to turn there, Revelations 19, 7 and 8. And it reads as following. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And it was a custom that everybody who came and attended the wedding had to wear fine linen, but it was the bride who had to wear four layers of fine linen. And we represent the bride on today. Now, this whole time, the bride has been making herself ready, and that's what we're to do, to be making ourselves ready for the wedding. She's been weaving her fine linen. She's being walking it as far as the righteousness of the saints. She's being conformed to the image of God. She's crying out and sparing not as a son. She's exercising her authority, because now we said Jesus is on her right hand, and he's interceding for on our behalf. We also shared that position with us, because now we can live in heavenly places, and we're seated in heavenly places, and now we're pushing back the forces of darkness. We're speaking forth, being the feet, the mouth, the voice, the cry of God. At that particular part, God gave us a measure of faith, and as we weave all our layers, just as the bride did by responding in faith and obedience to God, that's why he keeps saying in the scripture, if you be what? Willing. He's looking for the willing and obedient. He said you'll eat the good of the land. He's talking about you can inherit the earth. And when he's talking about the earth, like I said, it's not the bling. It's not material stuff. It's not stuff that people think they got to have to impress others. We're trying to get stuff to impress people that we really don't like and don't like us. It doesn't even make any sense. God's not talking about that. He's not talking about things in a carnal realm. God's talking about inherit the earth. In other words, I'm going to, those people, souls. One of the missions, commissions he gave us in Genesis 1:26, he said 26 through 28, he said, I want you to go and multiply, be fruitful. That wasn't just to make babies. Sometimes we got it wrong. God said, I want you to flip it. I want me to become the priority, Charlotte. I need you to tell him, flip it. Some of the things where we think is about what we're going to do and what we're called to do. He said, no, I need him to be before worrying about doing. In other words, instead of being Martha, become Mary. Set at my feet, study my ways, be conformed into my image. Instead of trying to be on a mission to love your neighbor as yourself, he said, first love me with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And as a result, you're going to automatically love your neighbor as yourself. I thank you, Lord God, for the flippant ministry. You say flippant. You say there's some areas where we've gone out, we put the cart before the horse. And I thank you, Lord God, we repent for that, Lord God, and that we're moving forward for what you're giving us. And we're responding to you in faith and obedience. So whether you tell us to do, just like Jesus did, I'll say what my Father say. I'll do what he say do. Not everybody's a bride. Not everybody's a friend. Not everybody's a servant. But the determination of what it is, and each layer that he's going to provide to you is going to be determined. It's determined to him what level you're on, but it's determined to you how far you go for it. No longer are we looking to see how much sin we can have in our life and still enter into heaven. No, we're looking to see how far we can go into being consecrated in him. How far can we go having dual citizenship? How far can we go in a supernatural realm, handling things, more fire and destroying demons and being a warrior for his kingdom? I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. And as a servant, we have to make sure that we're being the best, that we give God the best. He gave us his best. He gave us his son. And the least we can do is give him our best. He said he's desiring to position us for promotion right now, and we got to be processed in the kingdom, and we got to walk right. We got to walk upright, and we got to, and I'm going to say this to you. We may not all start at the same place. We all have different situations, different walks, different tests, trials, challenges, and they're all real, regardless of what happened, what mama did, daddy did, whoever wasn't there, whatever happened. It's all real, but we can't stay in that place. God has given us the blood. He's given us healing power. He's given us the truth. He's given us deliverance through the blood of Jesus. He's given us each other. He said we bear one another in love. He said confess your faults one to another. He's given us position and hierarchy in the kingdom that he can heal every area of your life, every emotion, every wound, everything that happened and didn't happen, everything, even down to generational curses. He's given us power. He's given us binding and loosing authority in Matthew 7. He's given us power over serpents and scorpions in Luke 10. He's given it to us, and he said, I desire you to walk in this end time as my bride in great strength to do the greater works that I'm greater faith. And great, he said, greater works and great faith. And I say, great faith, Lord, you know, you sound like it's some, great faith. How do I get greater faith? And how do I get great faith? How do I do these greater works, God? And God said, great faith is just perseverance faith. Just continue to persevere. You got to outlast anything. You basically, I won't relent. I won't give up. I won't give in, and I won't give out. And don't try it. Just live it. Live it. Allow the word of God to be increased in your life and know that faith comes by the rhema word of God. And the rhema word of God, when it comes, it's alive and it's sharper. And it jumps at you, and it'll change your life in a minute of a moment. It'll change your life fast, instantly. And faith increases throughout trials. So, you know, there's a knowledge that we get of God, but then there's an experiential knowledge that comes through experience. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're making our faith shields even thicker as we experience life trials and tribulations, as we're going through the fire, not trying to always speak it away, but go through it to be tried and proven purified in you, Lord God. I thank you for your word. And your strength and your blood and everything that you've placed before us to do. We know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, we say. And in the Old Covenant, they always said name. Think about how everybody was renamed in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the name meant the character. It means the honor. It means the authority. So when we say the name of the Lord is a strong tower, it means the character of the Lord is a strong tower. The honor of the Lord is a strong tower. The authority of the Lord is a strong tower. And when they say the righteous run into it and are saved, the righteous run into, meaning the righteous conform to it, are saved. And I think, Lord God, that we know, all of us collectively know, that it's not in the formulas. We can't use God. We can't use God's word, and we can't use this as a formula. We know it's a principle, because if we get caught up and we've been doing it, especially if we've been doing it a long time, it becomes a formula and it becomes a pattern. And God told me to tell you, a formula and a pattern is equal to witchcraft. He said, my words is a principle. It's truth and it's a lie. But there's no, you don't use me and my word as a formula. You recognize that it's a principle, and you stay in that place, and you stay in relationship with me. You don't just use my word. You don't just use my authority without having relationship, without intimacy with me. Into me, see? So the principles are foundational. They're foundational truths to build upon. And God don't want us rolling in any kind of religious mantra. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're tearing down all religious mantras. He even showed me there's religion on the next level. See, we think religion is always all the different churches that we came out of that said they believe in a form of godliness but denied the power. But God said there's a level of religion even in my born-again spirit-filled churches, because they get so lax in me. They become professional Christians. They know exactly what to do because they got the patterns and the formula, but they no longer seeking me and have real relationship and intimacy with me. Know that your faith will go on trial, but be encouraged. And know this, when it does, know that God's got to. And in his last day, he said, I'm going to do a quick work. And when he said he's going to do a quick work, and he said, I'm going to give some people a rapid lesson and rapid testing. And I thought about my son. He's in college right now. And you can go to the regular college, then you can go to school online. And then there's what they call a rapid class, where you go quick. You know, it's just a quick class. You get the same credit and everything, but things going to be rapid. And God said, I'm doing a rapid. I'm willing to do a quick work. And I said, God, are you responding to society? Because society is very impatient. It makes me think that he already knows that society is impatient. That's why he said, I'm willing to do a quick work. Also because he said we got to work while it's day, because when night comes, no man can work. And it's important that we work now. You see, when Paul said that I forget those things that are behind me and I press toward the mark of the higher calling, there is a higher calling, y'all. And I want to tell you this. He promises 70 and with grace we can have more. But this life is short compared to what we're going to experience in eternity. We are eternal beings coming here to have an earthly experience. We're going back. And I got to tell you this. When Paul said, I finished my course, that's just the first course. There are many courses to go in. And so this life is just probation for what's going to happen in the afterlife. It's important that we be conformed. It's important that we don't run with all the accolades. I'm going to give you this one. God gave this to me. And I'm going to close with this one. God gave this to me. He said, I had gotten to a point, you know, I had learned all the accolades myself, you know, I knew. And so when I would go to the doctor, you know, he'd give me a report, and I may not say nothing to the doctor, but when I get in a car, when I'm walking out, I'd be like, oh, the devil is a lie, whoo, devil is a lie, whoo, because God is my healer, Jesus already, he bore his stripes on me, and I just go with the word, I harp and go, and I quickly answer, and I would leave that thing settled. I'm like, whoo, the devil is a lie. And then I would go on. And then when things would come up in my life, and I was like, something would come up, I said, oh, no, I'm just going to fast and pray. Oh, I fast and pray on that thing. And I was doing the things that I had learned, but I was doing it in a way where it was a formula, because this is what we do. This is how we get results. And then God has to minister to me personally. And he said, I'm not a formula. You've got to have relationship with the God of the word. So just, I don't care if that's the way I set you free. I don't care if that's the way I delivered you. I don't care if that's the way I moved in your life yesterday, last year, 5 years, 10 years ago. You can't go by that. Every day you need to have relationship with me. And don't use my word. Don't use my truth as a formula. It's a principle. It's a foundational principle. But you got to come to me. So in other words, God was saying, okay, when you get that word, and the doctor said, you got such and such, and you already in your heart, your spirit, because the spirit of truth that's on the inside of you already know, it don't agree. We know we don't have that. We know that's a lying, lingering symptom. We know we heal because that's what his words say. We can know that truth, but we still must take the time to go to the Father and minister unto him what you truly feel, what you think, what the doctor said. He know it all, but he wants us to acknowledge him. It seems as though he won't do a thing unless we acknowledge it and come to him in prayer. So you still have to spend spend that time with him and let him minister truth to you. And he may minister that scripture back unto you, but now you got an on-time, relevant relationship with God in which he gave you the truth, and you walk away with that same truth, but you don't just use the formula, say that thing, and keep on rolling and just keep going to church. Oh, my God is bigger than that. And just using all the cliches. God said, put the formulas down and pick up true principles, my truth. Come back and sup with me. He said, come back and sup with me on a deeper level. Sit down sometimes, he said, and just don't even talk as much and just listen and let me speak to you. Have those quiet moments and rest with me and sup with me and let me minister you my truth for this season, this time, and this dispensation. Thus says the Lord, be encouraged, because God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He said, be strong in this time, in this hour, because he is in a place where he's doing a reset. He's refreshing. He's reviving. He's revitalizing. He's restoring and for the reformation. So I thank God for what he's doing in our lives at this time. Thank you, Pastor BJ, once again, for allowing me to come on and share. I just thank God. God, I thank you for the word that you placed in my spirit. I pray that it was received. I pray that it stays. I pray that it's the seed of the word that would go into the grounds of the hearts of the individuals that are hearing and listening. And I thank you that it would produce a harvest in their lives. I thank you that even as they sleep and rest tonight, that you would give more revelation, knowledge, and clarity on the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord God, for we know you your word won't return unto you void, but it's going to accomplish what it was sent out to do. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I pray, amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. It was so much, and it was certainly a word for the end times and for us to be able to stand. I'm telling you, even the history and the things that God bless you to pour out in revelation, knowledge. My sister, I don't even know where to begin, but just to thank God for how he used you and moved in the place that we need to be in, God. And, I don't even know where to even start my points at. I was trying to write and keep up with you. If anybody talk about me anymore, they no glory to God. I have a twin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless God that will speak. Praise God the word real quickly and fast. But I do bless God for what you were saying, if he's calling us to maturity. And we got to get in a place in him and really know what his word is and to be steadfast and not to know that there will be trials and different things that come. But we have to know who God is and who he is in us. And the things that you said concerning the layers, my Lord, I want to go back and read and look on that too as well, and how you, the things that you are saying concerning the layers of the linen, and also glory to God, how that place that we need to be, but also even before that, when you were talking about even the covenant, my sister, I have so much, I don't even know where to begin in it, but the main thing is I know everybody on the phone, if their ears was open to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord to say, they don't really need me to go back over it, because I don't want to mess up nothing that he already said. Because some of the things over to God that I read, might be a little shorthand, and I might be stumbling trying to go back over it. But anyone that had ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, or where we need to be in covenant with the Lord, what we need to do to get there, praise the Lord. I pray that you, just like you said earlier, that we'll have that glory, our ears was open to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Oh, my God, and how we need to walk in the power and authority. I don't know what else to say, but also what you were said, too, about the, what we all know we need to do, but we're not doing it, and that intimacy that we need to have with him, praise God, and not to take this thing as a formula, but also get in his presence. No matter how many times he's used us yesterday, last month, last year, and whatever like this, and then touched on things like that before, but it is vitally important, and so far we just don't get rigid. And when God want to do something new in us, we want to take us to the next level, we're so rigid and we're so conformed to the way that we used to do things, how God used to. And if we want to grow into the next level of maturity, it's going to take, just like if you were at once a layperson on a job, and then you get the supervisor, you don't do the same thing you did as a layperson, supervisor, manager, owner, or whatever. So we got to be able to flow with the anointing. But I just want to thank God for you. And if you don't mind, we're going to open the lines, praise God, for anyone that may want to have any remarks, because I know if they're like me, they are full and blessed, praise God, from what God has said. Oh, no, you're not. my screen jumped off, and I need to have that up so I can be able to pull you all back up. So praise God. One moment. Let me bring it back into the studio. Oh, my Lord, I praise God. I thank God again for you accepting the call to come on to allow the Lord to bless and use you tonight. You notice the devil, he complained all the time, and we done prayed about this, that he couldn't interfere tonight with the word or no noise inside. And I'm so sorry that I was, while I'm trying to pull the screen back up, I want you all to know that I do apologize. I was just talking after the prayer and did not know I had myself on mute. So when I was trying to do your introduction, you all didn't hear anything. But thank God, the flow of the Spirit, you're under the anointing, you float right on in there and just went on right with the word. So praise God for being on one accord to even in order to do this. Let me quiet for a minute because every time I get ready to pull you back up, it's picking up my voice. Just one second. Don't hang up yet. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, we hadn't had that happen in a while, praise God, but we're coming in now. We'll be able to open you all up for any remarks in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Now we open the lines. Thank you, Lord. The lines are being opened now, so anyone that has, well, you know, I'm not going to know, be able to talk at the same time, so I better just open all the lines first. So anyone that have any remarks at this time, the line is open with your numbers that we are. Okay?
Amen.
I think we got
Amen.
Everybody. We might have some that are already, quite a few that dropped off already, but. When he got silent, but there's still quite a few on the line. If you want to make any remarks, you can.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, I really enjoyed that message from Pastor Mitchell. Awesome job. Glory be to God. As I listened to her, it was like she was sitting in the room with the Father, and she was having a communication. She was whatever she was hearing him say, she was sharing it with us, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. I thank and praise God for every morsel that she gave out. Absolutely excellent. The process, and I love that scripture, John, the first chapter, verse 12, where the word says, to as many as receive him, to them he gave the power, praise God, the right to become sons of God. And she went through and gave that message, praise God, and help us to understand that we are the remnant of the Lord, and he's preparing us, praise God, for his coming. Glory be to God. I thank and praise God. I thank and praise God. I put down quite a bit. I won't try to share all of it. I love the message of how she shared on there's different covenants, praise God. The blood covenant, praise God, which is, it looks like I put down the first layer and then the second layer of salt covenant and then the bridal covenant, praise God. And each one of those was just explained so good. I thank and praise God. She talked about the SOP, standard operating procedures. And I made a note. I was thanking the Lord, the Father God, for liberty and freedom from the presence of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. And that's because of what Christ has done for us already. Praise God. I thank and praise God. Sometimes she would say, I've used the word Selah, which means when she would share something, it's time to just pause and think more quietly about that. Give yourself some time to meditate and hear what the Spirit is saying, praise God, regarding that. She said that the Lord has given us the ability to bind and loose, praise God. She talked about the greater works, praise God, which is to persevere, praise God, not giving up, not giving in, not giving out, praise God. So many awesome and wonderful things. And she talked about not using the word like a pattern, hello somebody or a formula, because she said that's like mm-hmm. witchcraft. So if you're going to use the word of God, praise God, you better have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. God wants relationship.
Amen.
He don't want to use him like a pattern or a formula. And sometimes we just share using the words, but he wants time with us. And I like how she said, once again, I put down, and I had put down even before I prayed, Selah, pause. I wanted us to be able to pause and think about what is being said, hear from the Father. And I just thank and praise God for every word. It was an awesome word. You did an outstanding job. And I think the best part I like is that you were talking to the Father as you were speaking to us. So to God be the glory. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Is there not any more remarks? Amen.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Mitchell. I enjoy the word. I thank the Lord we use you tonight. We just continue to keep him always, no matter what goes on, keep him first in everything. And I thank God for using you that powerful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the
Praise
Lord.
The Lord. I thoroughly enjoyed the word also. It was so much, and it was so powerful. And it's amazing. It's just amazing the way the Lord has used this young, well, I'm not going to say young woman, used this pastor, and it bears so much, it bears witness to what he's been giving us, especially about the level of intimacy, where we really need to be in his space now. We need to spend more time with him, because greater works ought to come, and they're coming through us. And what she said about the new wine and the new wine skin, that place in him that we got to come so he can fill us with the new wine and the new wine skin, what he's going to give us to do. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was so much. I'm not going to go over everything because I was making notes, and I'm like, Minister BJ, I got to read my own shorthand. But it was an awesome word. It was an on-time word, and I thank God for you. And I wish Oklahoma was closer to me. I'll come and listen to you some more. God bless you.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
God, praise God. What a message, Pastor Mitchell. I enjoyed that so much. And like everybody else, it was so much, and it was going so fast till I can't even read my own writing. But
yes,
it was a word for us in the season, because we need that. One of the things that I did like was that maturity. We got to come in a place of maturity, being that mature church that God is coming back for. And another thing that just set with me was take no thought. You know, when you said that sin actually happens before we speak it. Sometimes we let those thoughts just play just like a record in our mind, even before we speak it out. And that ain't nothing but a trick of the enemy. And he get us so bogged down in our mind, because we know that's where the battle began. And so when you said that, it just opened me up to sometimes we're thinking it in our mind, and we think because we did not speak it out that it's okay, but we already took the throat. Because we just let it play in our minds, and that is a sin. So I just enjoyed everything, because that is a mature word for a mature church.
Glory
to God. And sometimes you get that word like that. And so when that word come like that, I mean, wow, I was stretching my head. But I just thank God for you tonight, and thank God for that word.
Not until tomorrow night. But all this is... Mother McCormick, you can come on.
Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord, Pastor Mitchell. I'm about like Sister Hubbard. I just don't even know what to say, because it was just so good, and I was trying to catch it, and I was trying to write down these different little notes, and I caught where it says, if I read it down right, where it said, as a servant, he have given us the best, so we have to give him the best. And that's what he wants us to do, is give him the best. And he don't want us to just give up. Sometimes, you know, we might give up when we think that we're not doing the best, but he wants us not to give up. And then that very thing that really, oh goodness, that very thing that really caught me, what you was talking about, is spending time with him. Because I know that we got to spend time with him, because in the natural we spend time with our family, we spend time with whoever, but we got to just take out that time and spend with him. And that's what he wants us to do, is have that, you know, like you said, have that relationship with him and sit down and listen. That's another thing. I just ask y'all to just pray for me, because I need to sometimes just sit down and be still so I can hear what he's saying at times. So I just thank God for everything that you said. It was just so good. I bless God for you.
I think we all need that occasionally, that moment to do that, because when we get off track, praise God. It's been such a powerful word. Anyone else have any remarks or need prayer tonight? The lines are open. But we want to give Pastor time to give him remarks, too. If you're finished with your remarks, then we're going to turn it over. Is that Brother Black? Someone's about to say something? Okay, I thought I heard Brother Black. But anyway, do you have any more remarks? And then, if not, then we're going to turn it over to her for remarks, and then we'll find out if anybody needs prayer. Okay, you know, I'm one of the ones that don't like dead air on the line, so we're going to move forward. Pastor Mitchell, bless the Lord. We thank God for you. At this time, who is it? Someone about to speak? You be too slow now. I'm moving. Okay, then. Pastor Mitchell, the line is open to you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I want to tell you, you transferred that to me. You notice on my prayer line, I'm like, come on, get to moving, get to moving. I'm talking about Pastor BJ. She don't like dead air on the line. And when I do my prayer, I'm finding myself the same way. Y'all better keep it moving. Well, I just want to say, I want to say this to you all. I almost wish that we could have given, like right now we could do a group hug. I feel the love. I feel the sincerity. I feel the genuineness in all of your voices. I feel it. I sense it all in the spirit. And I just thank God for you. I thank God for your life and your commitment, your devotion, your dedication to the Lord. And I will continue to pray that you are conformed, that you go on to do the great work, the greater work that he's calling us to do. I'll continue to keep you all lifted in prayer. And what I love about God, there's no distance in the spirit. I thank God for the connection that we have. I thank God for what he's doing with us as the remnant that will be used in these last days. And I just thank you all. I love you. And I look forward to connecting with you more on the line. I look forward to it. And like I said, I wish we were, with each other and I could hug your neck, because I would love to love on you. I could feel the love that was coming from each one of you, all in your voice, the sincerity. And I thank God that God will honor you and he will continue to increase us in his purpose and for his pleasure, for his good work. In Jesus' name, that's all I have to say.
Praise God. We bless the Lord for you. Truly, bless the Lord. I'm not a one short for words, but I tell you, it was so filling. I know how your spirit is, and I know how the flow of it, and I love sitting under it. But it was coming so rich and was so much, and then some things I didn't know that was I was learning, trying to break those notes. So I'm like, man, I'll be all over the place trying to pull a note out of here and there after the scribble. But I want you to know I thoroughly enjoyed it. I learned some things, but also some things that was reiterated and some things that, you know, God just fortified and encouraging us the more, and some things flowed out in the midst. It just sharpened your spirit the more, because they're iron sharpened iron. But I thank God over there for what God blessed. And I see why the enemy was trying to fight you. You were the last person to conform, because you have a ministry. God was giving you something, an assignment through on the last few weeks. And it's like, oh, I see why he wanted to fight this. So I thank God for the anointed and the flow. And we believe in God for more to come as a revival glory unfolds. And I thank God for he keep putting his approval, his anointing, and just, you know, on just coming together for to be able to be in his presence. With you all that speaking the word of life, living what you God called out, people that are living this thing and are sincere about the work of the kingdom and concerned about his people, as well as fighting the good fight of faith to make sure you're walking up right before him. So I thank God for each one of you, and looking forward to none other than Pastor Bird of the Prophet tomorrow night. Bless the Lord, as you already just heard it, and she was just talking to, glory to God, about, wow, I can't even remember. But anyway, I want you to be prepared for the, oh yeah, she was the one that was talking about the maturity. But anyway, we're looking forward to a prophet tomorrow night, bringing forth the word and believing God for the anointing to flow in even the more as we're breaking the bread of light as we get all the way through Sunday. I'm telling you, I have enjoyed Jesus and looking forward to God just taking us to new heights and invest in him, and thanking God, glory to God, for all the ministers and women of God, glory to God, that's coming forth. And as I said before, spread the word, share the number, bless the Lord. And then when you want to go back and listen to any episode, you look for blogtalkradio.com/ and spell the word divine, D-E-V-I-N-E, for the ministry, divine connection, blogtalkradio.com/ divine connection. And praise God. We bless the Lord for you all coming on. If there's any remarks that we missed, praise God. But right now, if there's anyone before we close, and we are off early again, if there are anyone that that needed prayer or at this time, she's available to pray. And if the Lord's given to one of the prophets a word for tonight, we'll receive that too as well. Anyone needed prayer? Okay. Well, anyway, did any word from any of the prophets tonight? All right. We thank God for the word that was received tonight. We believe in God. Glory to God for you to have a marvelous and wonderful night, week, and glory to God, and continue to pray one for another as all this stuff is going on. We all praying and believing God for miracles, but in the midst of all, we want to make sure that our life is lining up with the word of God so that way we can be used for his glory in the midst of all of this turmoil that's happening. But God is still God, is still on the throne, still doing great and mighty things. He deserves all the praise, even in the midst, in the valley, as well as on the mountaintop. So let us know, glory to God, as he has said many times, and we have said over and over, glory to God, and many other afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers out of them all. Be of good cheer. He said trials will come in tribulation, but he has overcome the world. Greater is he on the inside of you than he is after you. So continue to be encouraged. Don't get off the straight and narrow. Get on Hollywood Boulevard. Stay focused, and don't allow the enemy to steal your inheritance, and don't give it up either. In the name of Jesus. We love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. And thanking God. And as tune in, glory to God, for the rest of the week, and tell somebody, glory to God. As I know why they say when we're in church, tell somebody, you want somebody to come feast at this table, what God is doing. No isms and schisms, no flesh on parade. Nobody, glory to God, trying to get any glory. Just glorify us. Hallelujah. Glorifying the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we continue to give him the glory and humble ourselves, he do the exalting, and we glory to God, be about kingdom business, and let God open the doors, and whatever door he opened, we can walk through, and we can stand regardless of whatever goes on around us. But right now, it's all about getting in that word in us and let it cleanse us out, and then also taking and let the fire burn where it causes us to express and expand, and glory to God, put more of the word out there in the kingdom, glory to God, because we know, glory to God, right now the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. We're called raising up the labors, glory to God, being revived, and glory to God, and just glory to God, determined to pursue and persevere, glory to God. No procrastination no more. We're about, glory to God, pressing in the name of Jesus. Are you excited? Let me let you go. I bless God for you. Thank you again, Pastor, for glory to God, being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Praying, glory to God, for everyone that's on the line, and all the ministers, and all the ones, glory to God, and all the ones that even had to leave the line when it got silent. There was quite a few listening, so we thank God. And as Pastor Dorsey said last night, quite a few was even in the chat room. I don't know how to work that, but she was able to see that. So we thank God, hallelujah, for what all he's doing. In the name of Jesus, we bless God, and we pray that you have a wonderful night, glorifying and magnifying the Lord. As we continue to bind up Satan and all this little cord, every setup, every trap, every transferring spirit, every foul spirit of the enemy that will try to come against you, this revival, the word, the anointing, our lives and family, we speak life and glory to God. In him we live and move and have our being. So have a blessed night. We love you. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.
God bless.
Amen and shalom.
God
bless you all.
Shalom. Glory to God. God bless.
Love you all.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Love you. Good night.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
bless
God. Glory.
Oh.
He is what? Thank you, Lord.
He bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Good night. Good night. Good night. Hallelujah.